How well do we really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? How well do we really understand it? This morning, in light of recent outreaches, particularly Adams County Kids Day yesterday, and some of the things that the Lord's been doing in my heart and life, it stands very appropriate to speak to these issues from the Word of God. Before getting back to Ephesians 6, an armor of God, how well do we really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? Many Christians, including pastors, are gospel illiterate. Not just biblically illiterate, but gospel illiterate. They really do not know how to clearly and directly communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mind you, I said clearly and directly. Bold. Many Christians can be described as mosquitoes in a nudist colony. It's kind of a funny thought, isn't it? Mosquitoes in a nudist colony. In other words, we know what we're supposed to do, but you know, we're just not quite sure where to start. Are you with me on that? See, understanding the what of the gospel is really it clarifies the why of the gospel automatically. Because when we understand how good the gospel is and how bad our depravity is, for how great God's grace is in Christ, what's the why? Tell it to me. Oftentimes, though, we struggle with really understanding, like more so just more specific training and teaching on really the how of the gospel. And so really, part of it, that God is really calling us to clearly and directly and therefore boldly communicate the gospel in a fashion that is compelling, that is winsome, but also authoritative, but clear. And listen, there are no special formulas, magic potions, silver bullets, or anything like that to evangelism. You know, it's very easy for us to think, it's like, well, if I had a different personality, if I had more education, or if I dressed differently, or if I went to this seminar or that seminar, really one of the biggest things to gospel witness, evangelism, is even just what we've already shared. Just through the course of just doing life. And as we're just conversant with the priorities of our relationship with Jesus Christ and the difference that He has made in our lives, and in your own unique fashion, in accordance with your life experience and your temperament and personality and giftedness and all these things, is just, hey, share, just open your mouth and speak clearly, directly, based on the authority of the Word of God. And so the issue is this, is that the power is in the gospel itself. And God is the one who does the transforming work of the heart. And that takes the load off of us, because it's not about us. The gospel doesn't even begin with us. It begins with God. See, His Spirit does empower us to stand up with a clear, direct, bold witness for Christ. And if the lives of Christians, listen to this, this is a challenge to every one of us, that it should be. If the lives of those who profess faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if Christians, if we are not characterized by a a moral responsibility of evangelistic urgency. In other words, if there is a passivity, and if there is just a cold shoulder, whatever, indifference, as far as evangelism and sharing Christ with people, if there is that type of stereotypical or that type of characteristic about our lives, we have a real problem. We have a real problem with, one, our understanding of the gospel, and two, we have a real problem with our hearts. There's a huge problem in our hearts if we don't, if we do not possess an urgency of our responsibility to share, to preach the good news of how depraved, lost, hellbound sinners can be rescued from eternity in the lake of fire and experience and live for the glory of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, it's the Spirit of God that's going to do a work in our hearts. How well do we really understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? Look over in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Oftentimes, we use this verse as a first tier verse to share with somebody their need for salvation. But if we're not careful, we can actually unwittingly really circuit really the reality of why people need the gospel. Because people have, if you just start Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, all have sinned, hey, you're a sinner, man. And maybe back in the 1950s, that was okay. Today, and it's perhaps illustrative of the reality of our culture in which we live, and the fact that Billy Graham just said that the culture in which we live, we don't live in Acts 13, where Paul or Peter and Pentecost, and he's engaging God-fearing biblicists, people that understand that there is a God and he has spoken his word. We're living in a post-Christian, secular, pagan society. Acts 17, where Paul is in Athens, and he's basically on the university campus of his day of sorts, and he's engaging with secular, progressive, liberal intellectuals. And so the real issue in our day is understanding, and it's always has been the case, because in previous generations there was foundational knowledge of God laid out, which we do not have today. And if we're going to have possessing intelligent understanding of the times in which we live, the days are evil, and engage our culture, we must understand that, hey, what does the gospel begin with? This is the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, look in verse 23. For all that fall short of the glory of God, what the glory of God, the sovereign majesty in the eternal God of glory. Even as Jan was sharing earlier about being on his cruise and sharing the beauty of the Caribbean region and the jungles and things. And look at across the page, look at Romans 1:20. What it says, this is what Scripture bears out. Did you see the moon last night? Psalm 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And look at Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, its invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even these eternal what? His power. And his God, in other words, who God is, so that they're without excuse. The gospel begins with the glory of God. We'll understand elsewhere, like when John gets a vision, he basically is transported to the throne room of God in Revelation 4, Isaiah in chapter 6, and they see a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, and all these wild, angelic, like Lord of the Rings-like creatures crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with your glory. And I mean, they're doing that incessantly. And we understand that the Lord is worthy of praise. And that's what to do when we're singing from a heart of faith and not just the words and these types of things, but really just in singing and praise to Almighty God, not just way over there. God is here with us. We understand that the vertical reality of His presence among us, His glory in living before His face. It is at that point that the gospel really makes sense. That God is eternal. He is almighty. He knows our hearts. We have broken His law. And hence, look at verse 23. In chapter 3, it says, "For all have sinned." So and only on the backdrop of the glory of God does our rebellion and our deception and our treason before Almighty God make sense. For all have sinned. And so the issue is that the gospel begins with God. It doesn't begin with man. And so the gospel begins with the glory of who God is, and then we shift to the depravity of all of sin. Look at verse 9 in the text. It says, "What then, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously chargeable Jews and Greeks that they're all under sin." He's talking about the previous chapters. Romans chapter 1 systematically unfolds the depravity. And history, wicked, crazy, perverse. And he next right here, look at verse 18. He says, "There is no other." We have really an enemy of sin in these all these verses from the Psalms that he's quoting here. And tip of the iceberg. And so we see man history in Romans 1, have heart in chapter 3 here. We see over chapter 6 in verse 23 across the page, it says, "For the wage of death, because of our transgression, because of our sin, our darkness, our heart before God, that I deserve banished from forever in hell." So the gospel begins with God, and then it goes to man as far as the problem. So it starts with good news, and then the bad news. And then it goes back to news. Again, look at verse 24. It's being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the reason why people love Jesus Christ is this. Is look at verse 25. This redemption has been set forth as that Christ as a propitiation. That basically means basically a perfect sacrifice for sin. And it says a propitiation. How? By His blood. You see that? By His blood. The Lamb of God Himself. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, He is fully God and fully man. And nobody like Jesus. And that He was able to die, essentially as the fact that He was man. That His blood satisfied the just demands of God's justice and righteousness is the reality that He is fully God. He's Son of God and Son of Man. God the Son and in the flesh. And John chapter 1 says, "We beheld His glory." See the glory of God in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says in this passage at the end of verse 26. He says that He might be just and the justifier of the one who what? His faith in Jesus. So the merits of Christ's sacrifice are our hearts in broken hearted repentance. We turn, we flee in faith to Christ. And when we cry out in gratitude and we say, "Thank you," the issue is the gospel begins with God, the glory of God, goes to the depravity of man. And it goes to the response. Verse 26, the one who has faith in Jesus. And verse 28, but we conclude that a man is justified by how? By faith, apart from the deeds of the law. Faith in Christ as Savior. Really, the gospel is just a good way to keep in mind that heart and mind conversant in the gospel clear and direct. Therefore, not confusing people. It's not about being Jesus. Is God man? We follow that? God, Christ, a response. Respond to the grace of Christ in faith. Whether or not somebody has ever had the opportunity to respond to the gospel, change the fact that they're spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. They're going to hell whether they've ever heard Jesus Christ or not. You understand that? And so therefore, that is why those of us who have the gospel, why we get the gospel to where it is not. And if we have an indifference, a cold-shouldered apathy and passivity, and I don't care about the gospel, getting it from where it is to where it's not, there's something wrong with our gospel. There's something wrong with our hearts. So the question, the challenge for us in whatever arena we feel compelled and led of the Spirit of God as we're walking communion by faith in Him to be engaged in living on mission for Jesus Christ, even as we do so to get together in worship and praise and encouragement and fellowship on a given Sunday and deploy our, and be deployed by the Spirit of God into the harvest field of souls, whether it's here or abroad. So the challenge for us is this. How well do we understand the gospel? How well? And unless we actually open up our mouths and speak clearly and directly and therefore boldly of the gospel, we may be self-deceived in thinking that we really know the gospel better than we actually do. And what's exciting is what we do, and when we have demonstrated that recently, or maybe if we haven't, but when we do step out in faith, like many of you have, what it does, man, God honors that, and He builds our confidence in Him. I'm going to do that again. It's like, hey, that was awesome, because it's not us, it's Christ. When was the last time you clearly and directly preached the gospel to a soul in need? When was the last time? How about this? What is the measure of responsibility you sense in your heart to evangelistic witness? The measure of the responsibility you sense. And it's not about personality. It's not about temperament. It's not about any. Everyone, if we have the gospel, if we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we understand that God is great and glorious. Man is a depraved sinner, hellbound. Christ is the perfect Savior. And the response of faith in Christ is the only way to receive the gift of salvation, to be rescued from our sins. God, man, Christ, we have that. We're responsible. And that is how we experience the fullness of the glory of God vertically, but also demonstrating that out horizontally as well. Live on mission for Jesus Christ, both here in our community, in our culture, in our church. And God's going to do awesome things and glorify Himself through our lives. How well do we really understand the gospel? It really is the power of God. It's not us. It's God's power. Father, we thank You for the greatness of all You are. And Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would convict our hearts, O God, of our responsibility for You to make a difference in our influence and step out of faith, out of our comfort zone, to go places, people, things that we've never done before. So whatever that is, our respective lives, responsibilities, and things, Lord, may we live in life eternity. For Your love. Cross of Calvary. We Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.